how else are you going to do your weird nightly activities of skulking around when they're awake and watching you?
We got glue vine.
Glue vine?
I can't believe that you call it mulled wine.
Yes. When you say glue vine, it was like, what the shit sort of
poison?
Glue? That sounds disgusting.
It means glow wine.
Glow wine.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I also found, I'm going to add just on the list of awesome words, that light bulb in German is Glühbirne, which means glow pear. Germans are adorable.
German. I love it. The glow pear. Oh, what is it? The sky potatoes. Is that French?
Oh.
Like the word for apple. Oh, is it?
Oh, earth potatoes.
Ah.
I don't know the French. I just know Afrikaans is aardappels.
Right. So it's like, yeah, earth apples. That's the one.
Yes.
I knew there was like
sky
one.
Sky potatoes.
Sky potatoes is a thing. What
Mining
would that be?
Them from the clouds.
Something kartoffel. What's sky in German? Himmel.
Himmelkartoffel.
In heaven. Himmelkartoffel. I love it.
Heaven potatoes, which is what potatoes are.
Fuck. You're right. Okay.
This is very sweet wine.
The glue wine.
The glue wine.
I hate it. I hate that it's called glue wine.
Glue vine.
I don't know. Mulled just sounds comforting.
Yeah, but that's the American.
No, it's the British way.
Even in Britain, they say glue vine.
No, we don't. I am Britain. You are not.
I am British. Shut up, foreigner.
You're from Morocco or something. I don't like
fucking ninja.
Mulled
Togo.
Mulled, it just sounds like someone's wrapping you in a nice blanket of alcohol.
Morocco.
Mulled. Not Morocco.
It sounds like a mullet to me. It
sounds
like what
no,
an American
don't ruin
would say.
This.
Glue vine.
Glue sounds like fucking
glue.
Sounds like glue, though. Horse murder. Glue. Ooh. Ah, that's a clove.
Oh, did you get?
I win.
We're going to be podcasting and suddenly you'll be like,
dead from the clove.
Stick it somewhere.
Keep it back in there.
Don't drink it again.
I will. It'll surprise and enrage me again later on.
You got the magic bean. You're king for a day.
I have to come back to the last podcast that we recorded where you just stopped. You just went,
I don't even know what happened because there was nothing else that I edited out.
No, I know.
I just listened to it and I was like,
you did need winding up. I just don't know why. TikTok.
I am piloted by tiny dormice.
Yeah. Okay, we should probably introduce ourselves, I guess.
I mean, we've been drinking and talking for God knows how long.
Like, people turn on the podcast and they're just talking about vaginas, poop, and they're like, oh, it's Jess and Philippa from the podcast Awful Forever.
I thought for a second I was listening to Sawbones, but...
This is Everything is Awful Forever, where we de-romanticize history with weird accents sometimes, and lots of wine and pubic hair, I guess.
An excellent combination. I'm Philippa Evans.
I'm Jessica Byrne. So today we are recording on Thanksgiving, which is nothing. And I don't actually know what Thanksgiving is actually about.
I know that Americans eat a strange combination of yams and marshmallows.
And I don't even know what yams are. I've heard it's sweet potato. But I think
But they also eat sweet potatoes.
I don't understand then. I don't know what the fuck yams are.
What are you thankful for today, Jess?
Ugh. Nothing. But I do know that it's about eating a lot and turkey, which I am very
down
pro. Yeah, pro
so...
that. So makes you feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, speaking about eating a lot, the episode today is going to be about the opposite of that.
And
not eating a lot.
I don't like this.
Which is sad.
I was enjoying talking about food.
And upsetting. Let's go into Dr. Hazard and Wilderness Heights.
Doesn't sound good. It sounds like a lightning bolt should be going.
Dr. Hazard in the Wilderness Heights. Yeah, it sounds very ominous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good and it's exciting. Let's go. So it seems that every few years there's a new kind of like diet fad that pops around that everyone starts talking about. And it's supposed to be like the next amazing cure-all and the best way to like trick our bodies to just stop being fat, just trick it. A few years ago, diet was like Atkins. Now it's things like paleo and keto.
Keto.
And like detoxification as well. We'd be like, you gotta detox.
Have you tried a juice cleanse?
You need to. I also saw that there's a thing about sunning your asshole, basically.
What?
So you sit naked and you tilt your asshole to the sun. Because apparently...
I thought that was yoga.
Yeah. So like on your back, legs akimbo in the air. The amount of sun that's supposed to hit your bare asshole. I don't know.
What does that do for you?
It burns your ass.
Now you've got anus cancer.
Now you've got anus cancer. How does that feel? You got bum cancer. You did it for stupid reasons.
Could you read about it on Goop?
I saw it. Yes, I did. I follow it religiously. No, I saw
our
it.
Queen.
I saw it on Twitter. It's one of those things where I think it's like, remember ages ago people were like, women are dying, their armpit hair. But it turned out it was only four women, but it was over the space of also like 10 years. So it's like, people are doing it. So everyone thinks, oh my God, everyone's doing it. It's an idiot. It's like, no, only four people are doing it.
Jess said to Philippa, she bent over and sat down with Tom.
I mean, I'm currently doing it because Twitter said that it was amazing. And it said people are doing it now.
It was on BuzzFeed. We all have to do it now.
I need vitamin D there for reasons. Yeah, pretty much. So these new health things come around and everyone goes, oh my God, everybody's doing it. And so you have to do it.
I'm doing an alcohol cleanse at the moment. I feel like it purifies my blood.
What you should be doing is like only drinking alcohol because you'll lose loads of weight. And also, yeah, like the toxins will just like flush everything out through your liver. And also you'll be way more fun at parties. So I'm doing like the alcohol only diet.
Look, it works for embalmed corpses.
It absolutely does.
They look great.
And they've lived so long. So, you know, I feel like it's good for longevity.
I feel like I am ascending right now.
So instead of that impossible to obtain, apart from the superhumans among us, of diet and eating less and working hard and exercise, we want something that will trick our bodies into losing weight. So here come Claire and Dora Williamson. These are two wealthy socialites from Australia at the turn of the 20th century, two spinsters on lookout for such new age fancy health cures. This was, yep, the turn of the 20th century, so where the old ways were kind of dying and like new science was coming in, more commercialism around because of the Industrial Revolution.
Fewer corsets to give you that waistline.
Absolutely. You're not allowed to wear corsets anymore. Now flappers are coming into vogue and they're waifish and boyish from all the cocaine they have all the time. So
the cocaine cleanse.
Which is really, really good. Days. Honestly, like you lay down, you sun your asshole, you have your cocaine, you thin, thin, gorgeous.
I'm not lying. That sounds like a great
thing. So Claire and Dora Williamson. Claire and Dora Williamson. The two sisters moved to America in order to improve their health via the very newest and best pile of quackery that money could buy.
You know it's in the old timey times because people are moving to America to improve their health.
Ooh.
Anyway, continue.
That's true. Sometimes I like to just make fun of people. It's like, I went to the doctor for no reason, didn't charge me anything. I just kicked them and then took loads of drugs and got like a free colonoscopy. Just rocked out of there like, thanks, bro.
Oh, keeping that.
Shit. Oh no, now everyone's gonna know I'm a horrible person. Dang. Anyway.
Been hiding it for so long.
Expertly. So, moved to America to improve their health. There they found Dr. Linda Hazard in 1911. They had read an advert for her sanatorium and they just had to go and meet with this doctor. Linda stated that she was a doctor specializing in health attained by nutrition and that she had a new treatment that garnered very radical results in health. It was a treatment that would cure all diseases, and she told them of the book that she had published in 1908, Fasting for the Cure of All Diseases.
Oh my God.
Very interesting.
Sounds very millennial, intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger is the new breakfast.
That's right. Dr. Hazard promised the sisters her strict regime could cure cancer, cirrhosis, depression, and just about anything else you could think of. So she was also very charismatic and intense and a female doctor, which was very strange for this time. She explained to the sisters that she had a retreat, a health farm deep in the woods, like a really holistic place.
This sounds very human centipede.
That's right. You've got a retreat in the woods. It's far away from people. Definitely not going to murder you deep in the woods. That's not what's going to happen.
It's two women alone in a foreign country. What could happen?
What could go wrong? It's fine. It's fine. So the two sisters signed up immediately. They needed to cure their shrugging in an audio medium is what I'm doing. They didn't really have anything wrong with them. They were just kind of, you know, chasing that sunning your perineum.
That healthy high.
That's right. Not only that, but there were those who actually kind of sang praises of her treatments in the past. Some of these people were even extolling the virtues of fasting. There have been medical journals written on it. It's all very science. It sounded a lot like science to them. Yeah, it sounded like science. So yeah, people were praising her treatments to an almost cult-like devotion.
That's what would convince me. The cult-like devotion.
Yeah, charismatic, place far away in the woods. Cult.
Literally called Hazard.
Yes. Yes. Sounds good. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm doing it. So they sat down for a consultation with Dr. Hazard. She diagnosed them because every diagnosis had one treatment, fasting. So it's like, your elbow is sore.
Fasting.
To cure disease and live in good health, Hazard believed one should only eat a small cup of strained soup a day and maybe a small piece of fruit every few days.
Oh!
Yes! Thanksgiving!
That's what's going to happen is like our jobs fall away. Yes. Our pension funds will be like, that's right, all we need is a little piece of apple every week.
That is all one needs for good health. So in February of 1911, the two sisters did just that, coupled with therapeutic massages and also enemas, which was her treatment.
Oh, delightful.
The enemas to flush out all those toxins and to keep you hydrated too. So promising to move them over to her holistic farm in the woods soon, she moved the sisters into a flat in Seattle nearby and began the treatment. So for the first few days, the sister found it hard, but beneficial. Because, like, fasting is actually, it's actually been medically proven to be beneficial for you. It's like, if it wasn't, then all the people who celebrate Ramadan wouldn't be in good health, you know? Yeah, so it has been known to, like, speed up metabolism, can improve longevity, and just has loads of different actual good health benefits for you.
When you eat intermittently, yes.
Yes, exactly. It's just like intermittent fasting where it's like one day a week you don't eat very much. It's like that's when the benefits
8 hours
happen.
A day.
Yes, exactly. Not like just stop eating entirely. That isn't science. That is not good. But, and it's a big but.
Or was it for long? Carry on.
The enemas. Oh, the enemas. Every single time. Did I tell you that time when I gave myself a water enema?
No.
And is this getting kept in?
Yes.
Okay, so we're at a water park. I'm sure I've told you this.
No.
We're at a water park. I've never been to a water park before because they don't really happen in Britain because it's cold always. So I was on holiday, first time ever at a water park, inordinately excited. I'm a 30-year-old woman, like, yay! At a water park. And there was one of these slides where you don't have one of the rubber dinghies to go on. You just go on yourself because it was basically like almost just vertical drop. So down I go. And then Alex had gone down before me and he saw me like stand up at the end, clench, like, whoop! Oh! Apparently I wasn't clenching hard enough and whoop, up goes the water.
Oh my god.
I was like, whoo,
cleansing.
How refreshing. Sort of like Frankenstein waddling along, like, I need to go to the bathroom. And just waddled along with water just like trickling down my leg as it was starting to seep out from the water enema that I accidentally gave myself.
That's amazing.
It was all clean. It was none of this was disgusting. Don't worry.
I wonder how many people this accidentally happens to.
I wonder too. Tell us on Twitter.
At Awful Forever Pod.
Yeah, didn't like it. Not a fan. So I can see how these water enemas every single day would be bad because I didn't enjoy that.
I'm sorry that this triggered your trauma.
I'm so glad I can finally talk about it.
That is staying in.
Yeah, good. So every single day, Claire and Dora were given a purgative from Dr. Hazard, and then they had to moan in pain as the doctor irrigated their colons with gallons of water. And these enemas often lasted for hours at a time. So I can just kind of picture her just like hosing them up there. And then after that, it was time for the massages.
Well, that sounds nice.
They weren't nice. It was sort of like the harsh sort of beating you massages. Instead of nice and therapeutic, it was very, very rough.
Dr. Hazard sounds like a woman with some fetishes.
Yes, some very specific ones. She likes skinny people, massages of punching people in enemas. Yeah, there's probably a website dedicated just to that. Weakened from lack of food, Claire and Dora endured daily strenuous massages where they would be struck about the face and stomach by Dr. Hazard.
That doesn't sound like a massage.
No, it sounds like a beating. As she did so, she shrieked, "Eliminate!" as she beat the rapidly weakening women with her bare fists. So she's just kind of like punching him. So it didn't take very long before the veritable beating and lack of food weakened them enough to stop feeling the benefits and start feeling just bad. Yet, why didn't they just leave? Well,
investment fallacy?
Yes, pretty much. They were like, they'd already gone this far. And she kept saying about how, yes, it's difficult and it's hard, but afterwards is where the benefits happen.
And so much water up the butt.
And so much water. Time came to take the sisters to Dr. Hazard's treatment facility in the woods.
It hadn't even begun yet.
Yes. So that was like the first treatment, and then they're going to go to the treatment facility to carry out the rest of it. Because their gaunt skeletal appearances and constant fainting were causing alarm to anyone who saw them. So time to put them away in the woods. This was in April, a month after they'd already been starving. They could no longer walk. The Williamsons were taken to an ambulance by a stretcher and then driven into the woods.
Oh, it's not a good ambulance.
No, so starved for a month. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to push you in the woods.
I'd worry if our modern healthcare professionals were like, yeah, she looks nearly dead. Take her to the isolated place in the forest? Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
Off we go, Dr. Hazard.
Let's go. So off they go to Wilderness Heights. Let me tell you about Wilderness Heights. It was not a beautiful woodland retreat as it was promised. A little bit like the Jonestown, it was far from paradise. Hazard and her alcoholic, womanizing, previously arrested for being a swindler, new husband, Sam, had a small cottage built on the property. Very nice, very good. But then the rest of them were just like rough log cabins to house the patients. It was a deep, thick wilderness where they could practice the treatments away from prying eyes. The nearest town of Olala. Oh la la la!
Oh la la!
Oh la la! Didn't really like Dr. Hazard because she was weirdly intense and and she didn't really fit into their community. Their dislike for her only grew when they started to see her patients. Hunters in the woods would sometimes stumble across it and be startled by the emaciated figures wandering slowly through the forest.
Sounds like a horror story.
Yeah,
they were like... them talking around the fire.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, imagine like you're going for a hunt, hunting bears or whatever Americans do, and then you come across these, I wrote down here, skeletons searching, like they were wandering around like skeletons searching for their graves. Delirious wretches begging for food, their bones clearly visible through their paper-thin skin. With nothing to do but wander aimlessly like lost spirits, anyone who accidentally stumbled upon them, this terrified them as these poor trapped people were slowly withering away. Legends then began to arise around this awful woman, and these scary, horrible zombies that she had skulking around the woods. The locals said that Hazard planted a tree for every person she killed, and she pointed to the groves of new growth on her property, laughing. This is not true. This is just like the legends that were starting to form around her.
I like it though.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. They said that she threw the bodies into the canyons so that the animals could eat their bones, and that they nicknamed her property Starvation Heights. It's pretty badass, isn't it?
It's pretty cool.
Pretty fucking...
I have a low-key crush on
it. She's pretty cool. You would go, wouldn't you? You'd be like, well, the health benefits do sound really good, though.
It's like, I'm already on keto.
Oh, yeah, it's the next step, isn't it? Sonny, asshole, go
just
over here.
Give up all food.
Just none of it. A piece of fruit. I fucking hate fruit. Ugh. All of it can go away. When the sisters arrived at Starvation Heights, they didn't see any zombies or vengeful spirits. They were the only patients there. I wonder why. But they were housed in the rough log cabins, which was a far cry from their opulent lifestyles these two rich socialite Aussies were used to. They weren't really in a position to complain, though, because by the time they arrived, they weighed only 5 stone, which is 70 pounds.
Okay, I can kind of work out pounds. Yeah. So that would be like 40 kilograms?
That's terrible. That's so thin and bad. Your face is a journey right now.
I'm just trying to work out numbers. Yeah. I come from the normal, sane world that works with kilograms.
Fuck you and your easily divisible numbers into 100.
Fuck you from your world that makes sense. But I kind of got it in my head, like, what they would weigh. It would be like 35 to 40 kilograms. Cool. That's very light. That's like that 12-year-old.
That is sadly light, yes. That is, yes, it's a 12-year-old, if that. As they wasted away on their meager diets, Hazard convinced the sisters that the treatment was in fact working, and their illnesses were starting to fade away. Even as their bodies became covered in sores and they could no longer leave their beds, Dora and Claire believed good health and vitality were right around the corner.
I guess that's like the fumes talking.
Yeah, I think they're just absolutely starved and delirious, so they're like, this is all fine, everything is good. They just had to make their way through this difficult time and the end of it feel refreshed and rejuvenated. As Claire became weaker, Hazard separated the two sisters, moving Claire into her cottage with her because she needed more intensive care with the doctor. When Sam Hazard, her husband, asked Claire to sign some documents, she had total faith that the money that he was asking her to sign over was just for a small loan. As anyone knows, being hangry means you can't think straight. Oh my god, hangry is my default state. Dr. Hazard urged Claire to sign these documents, just saying, like, don't worry about it. I'm a doctor. Trust in me.
Just in me.
And now, after starving ourselves, we'll sludge over to the Victorian workouts.
Feel like we're putting on a little bit of weight as we get there.
That's right. Are you ready for the Victorian workouts?
I'm ready for the Victorian workouts.
Now
said
then.
No one ever.
As we're slaving away on our assembly lines, I heard a nasty, nasty rumor.
No talking in the workout.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, end of podcast. I heard of a Scottish surgeon named Jamie Fraser. Back in the day before anesthesia, amputations needed to be done as quick as possible in order to stop the patient from bleeding out. So sometimes, while thrashing around and needing to be held down, a surgeon might amputate the wrong thing.
Oh my goodness.
So while Jamie sat down to amputate a patient's leg at the hip, he accidentally sliced through the fingers of his assistant with his saw. But that's not all. With a triumphant swing of his saw, he accidentally cut someone on the coat. But because of all the fucking blood that was everywhere, this other doctor that was cut on the coat assumed that the blood was him and that he had been cut and died of a heart attack.
Give Jamie a fucking knighthood.
The patient and the fingerless assistant also died because the saw was infected and they just both died. Jamie Fraser holds the record for the first surgery with a 300% mortality rate. Or maybe that's another Scottish surgeon called Robert Liston. I don't know. Scots are all the same to me.
Spread it around.
Yes. It's Jamie. It isn't Robert Liston, 300% mortality rate. It was Jamie Fraser. So thank you, Jamie, for you disastrous surgeon, you.
Thank you so much.
Your patronage means a lot to us. I was just very happy when I saw that. Thank you very much.
And if you too want horrible rumors spread about you to make you just have that little bit of an extra zing in the parlor when you're being introduced to a strange crowd, sign up for our Patreon.
Yep, the link can be found anywhere on our link tree on any of our socials. And our socials are Twitter at AwfulForeverPod and Instagram AwfulForeverPodcast. Just follow us.
Just follow us everywhere.
Just stalk us around a little bit.
We like it. It makes us feel needed.
Just lurk in places and watch us while we get dressed.
Oh, we are inviting a multitude of...
So with that, with all our fingers hopefully still intact, let's get out the workhouse, shall we? What were you
going
to say?
Our murderers will be standing in court going, "But Your Honour, they invited."
Why is he a cockney?
I always assumed I'd be murdered by a man from Essex.
Makes sense. Checks out. All right, so off we go to the workhouse. Back out into
the Starve House.
Starve House. Starvation Heights. Back in Australia, Margaret Conway, the Williamsons' childhood nurse, received a strange message from Claire. So odd was this correspondence that she left Australia in search for the women. It wasn't anything like, "Come get me, I need help." It was just so weird from this delirious staff woman that they were like, these people are already kind of like, there's Tim, nice but dim, rich idiot women, so they need my help. She finally reached Washington. I don't think I've said this entire time that it's in Washington. It's all in Washington. When they reached Washington, Conway was greeted with sad news. As she finally got to Starvation Heights, Dr. Hazard's husband said that Claire had died and that Dora had gone hopelessly insane.
I don't believe them.
When Margaret was taken to see the body of Claire,
she did indeed die. Oh no!
She didn't recognize it. She believed that this was actually someone else's cadaver because of how thoroughly emaciated she was. Nothing was recognizable about her anymore. She'd wasted away to just skin stretched over a skeleton.
I was hoping he kind of pulled the old switcheroo and like swapped another corpse, and like she was below in the basement, too feeble to knock on the... Now this is a sadder story, isn't it?
I think the sweet release of death is probably the best one here.
Happy ending!
Yay!
Everything's made to forever!
Podcast. Conway demanded to see Dr. Hazard immediately and to see the remaining sister Dora. Sam had no choice but to take her back to meet with the good doctor. When Margaret met Dr. Hazard, she noticed that the doctor was wearing one of Claire's robes and writing in one of Claire's notebooks.
Creepy.
Before she died, explained Dr. Hazard, Claire had named the Hazards the administrators of her estate. So the couple had helped themselves to her clothing and jewelry and all of her household goods that she brought with her.
Makes sense.
When I go to the doctor, I, you know, bequeath them things, just, you know. The Hazards even sold the gold fillings from Claire's teeth after her death.
Nasty.
It was becoming clear that they wanted to have people believe that Dora was now insane, perhaps so that they can control the entire of the Williamson fortune. That, or kill her. Nothing suspicious there whatsoever. Conway demanded to see Dora and was eventually permitted into the tiny cabin. Margaret was nearly paralyzed with horror. The once vibrant woman weighed only 3.5 stone, or 50 pounds. Yeah.
That's like...
That's supermodel level
three
skinny.
Bun buns.
Yeah, that's basically nothing.
I would feel very scared at that moment when I'm in this room of like two crazy people and my skeleton person.
Yeah.
And I'm all alone in the woods at Starvation Heights. I would be going, I feel I've seen a movie about this.
Damn. Is this like... Is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out and be like, punked or something, or whatever that thing was?
That would be the best situation.
Oh my god, that's so relevant, Jess.
Ashton Kutcher is always relevant.
Super relevant. Her bones protruded so sharply that she couldn't sit down without pain. According to the nurse, you could feel Dora's backbone through her stomach. And her lips were so drawn, she couldn't close them over her teeth. Maybe the most horrible of all... Dora told her nurse that she wanted to stay and finish the treatment.
I would just run.
You... How? On your bone legs?
No. If I'm Conway, I would just run.
Yes.
I would just give Dora up for dead.
Well, she's too skinny now. We've got to go. Nothing Conway could say would convince the Hazards to release Dora as well. She was trapped. She needed this treatment. Conway reluctantly left, vowing to somehow save her friend, the woman that she helped raise. So Margaret wrote to one of the Williamsons' relatives, a lawyer named Josh Herbert. When he arrived, he negotiated with the Hazards to release Dora after giving them thousands of dollars.
Oh my god.
So she basically purchased her freedom off the Hazards. She was taken back to Australia, a husk of her former self. She was never able to live independently again and was cared for by relatives until her death.
Oh my god, really sad.
Her sister's dead, the amount of trauma that she must have suffered through for this, and like the health.
And the moral of the story is just fucking fad diets.
Yeah. With Nora safe, Herbert convinced the local authorities to look into the case, which revealed some harrowing results. There'd been a number of suspicious deaths under her care, all with financial manipulation of her patients signing over the rights to her worldly goods. It all started coming to light. So, Dr. Linda Hazard, she got married when she was 18 years old and had two children in 1898, but then she left her husband and children to pursue her medical career. Mm-hmm. You know, I get that.
Strong, independent lady.
Yeah, you do it, you got a dream. I've got a dream. Linda Burfield Hazard had some training as an osteopathic nurse, but no medical degree. So a little bit of nurse training, but that's all. But a loophole in the law in the state of Washington granted her a license to practice medicine. This was because of a loophole. There was an exploit for kind of new and interesting alternative forms of medicine. So she was granted a full medical license necessary to start her insane health retreat, as she claimed to be an expert, like a doctor of nutrition. So that's like the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. Like a dietitian is a legally protected term, meaning that you have to have some form of recognizable qualification or training in it, but a nutritionist is nothing, and literally anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. It's like a nutritionist going around saying that they've got a health cure nonsense, and people believe it because the term sounds important. They're like, you must know what you're talking about, you've got ist in your name.
I like to put matcha in my latte.
That's right.
Cured my shingles.
What an interesting nutritionist tip that is. So, Linda moved into calling herself a fasting specialist, claiming that fasting can cure all diseases, as she released that book, Fasting for the Cure of Diseases. However, the program she suggested was to fast for over 90 days or more, which is not humanly possible. After this, when they investigated Starvation Heights, they found a number of clear cases of patients tricked out of their money and starved to death. One patient, Seattle State Legislator Lewis E. Radar, who died under Hazard care, purchased Wilderness Heights from them. So basically he was like, I'll give you all the money for this, and it's just like, you know, tricking them. They already own it. Tricked him into the money thing. A British patient, John Flux, had come to America to buy a ranch, but he died with only $70 to his name, the rest having been funneled into the Hazards. Eugene Wakelin supposedly shot himself while fasting under her care. But only after Hazard had convinced him to name her the administrator of his estate.
That is one persuasive lady. I can't even get people to let me persuade them to let me work for them for money.
The thing is, you need to starve them first and then dangle a chicken bone while you're talking. Just like, would you want to sign over this?
You want a piece of fruit? Want a piece of fruit?
Got a nice KFC. And you're like, yes, please.
Now I know.
She had been investigated a little bit because of the number of deaths associated with her practice, but not really to any extent. Because Daisy Haglund died in 1908 after 50 days of fasting under Dr. Hazard's care, and the authorities looked into it, but there was nothing they could do. The medical establishment was in its infancy at the time, and so the law was generally on the doctor's side, assuming that they were doing their best. Doing their real best. Just giving it a go, doing their best. And it seemed as well that, like, they were kind of like, well, these people are really sick, which is why they're coming to you. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna die, you know? Mm-hmm. It's 1911. We still kick and marry horses.
And we're putting the cart before the horse in this case.
Yeah. Also, she lied and said that the patient died of stomach cancer and definitely not starving to death and miserable and slow demise for 50 days. Anyway, there were many, many more cases such as this, and all the people that went to her holistic treatment farm never returned. 12 were confirmed dead, but many believe that it might have been up to 40, because sometimes people would leave and then be unable to recover and then die later, such as that, and then she hid a lot of it as well. And some of the illnesses that she put people in for were like tilted uterus. Some people were actually healthy, but she just was exploiting their insanity.
It wandered a bit to the right.
The wandering womb. Despite all of this, Hazard was charged of first-degree manslaughter of Claire Williamson.
Yay.
The difference between this case and previous cases were that she had witnesses here. At the trial, Dora Williamson, Margaret Conway, and John Herbert all testified against Hazard, and it was alleged that she stole from patients, starved them, and dissected their bodies in a bathtub. It was said she worked with the local mortuary to dispose of the bodies of the victims and to provide unstarved corpses to show neighbours.
Oh.
And relatives, even. Sorry, not neighbours.
To show neighbours.
I'm just going to read that sentence again.
Step right up!
I love it.
Feel your neighbours' cops! Feel your neighbours' cops!
So, when she was shown... That goes back to the thing of, like, the woman not recognizing the corpse. It mm-hmm. might have been someone else's unstarred.
I was right.
Hazard's defense during that trial was that she was an innocent health practitioner being persecuted for her unorthodox techniques and because she was a woman. This didn't convince the jury because, I mean, no one believes women anyway, so fucking... What are you going to do? Dr. Linda Hazard was stripped of her medical credentials, pitiful as they were and non-existent, and found guilty of manslaughter. She was sentenced to 2 to 22 years of hard labour. So it's either 2 or 22, fuck it. We'll see.
Stick another 2 on it whatever. If you feel like you need it.
I don't give a shit. After losing legal appeals, she took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and Hazard was taken to Walla Walla Prison to serve out her sentence. America, your names are bad and you should feel bad. But this is not the end of Dr. Hazard. Dr. Hazard served 2 years at Walla Walla.
Okay, so it was just the 2.
It was just the 2. And she did hard labour and also fasting a bit to prove the worth of her cure. After her release, Hazard was pardoned by the governor in exchange for banishment! Never return to the USA unless you bring me the Avatar!
Don't darken our doorstep!
So the Hazards moved to New Zealand, but after 2 years, they just snuck right back in to the same place to make the same facility and do it all over again. It's the American dream.
That's why you need a wall.
That's why you need a fucking wall. Trump is right. So she managed to get a lot of money as well while she was in New Zealand. And it's not really certain, but seeing as she, her new husband was also like in prison for being a swindler. And she's a huge swindler. May have swindled up some money. Anyway, so she built this sanatorium that she'd always dreamed of in Olala again. It's this beautiful state-of-the-art Olala. So the state-of-the-art facility has a sanatorium was called the most impressive building in Olala. Olala. Despite this, her reputation kind of ruined it forever, and weren't really that many patients anymore because they're like, you starve people to death and you're a murderer, pretty much. This isn't to say that she didn't have any patients, because mm-hmm. she was arrested again in connection to a death of a patient, Leonard Ritter, who died of starvation after an 84-day fast.
She was so close.
So close to the whole 90 days. She was eventually fined $100.
Oh my God.
A few years later, the Hazard Sanatorium burned to the ground. Rumors flew that the building was burned for the insurance, but nothing was ever proven, or by vengeful starved spirits.
I like that.
By the late 1930s, Hazard was now a guru with quite a few followers, mm-hmm. and she lived in a little cottage in the woods, but she didn't share the grounds with any patients, so the same area, but just her cottage now. And her husband now, she lived there with her husband, sorry, now in her 70s, Hazard set about again to finally repair her reputation and prove once and for all the validity of her starvation cure.
So did she really believe it? I guess who knows?
I think that she was just trying to get other people to believe it so that she could swindle them out of money again. So she wanted to prove she was right all mm-hmm. along that her starvation cure worked. She lay in bed for weeks, drinking only a thin broth. And in 1938, Linda Hazard died of hunger.
I mean...
She starved herself to death with her own thing.
Bitter medicine to swallow.
And that is Starvation Heights and Linda Hazard.
I feel that as we all fast intermittently, she's shaking her fist in the grave going, I was right!
I told you so!
Vindicated!
So, that.
All for a fad diet.
Yeah. I guess her thing wasn't specifically that it was a diet.
It never really became a fad.
Yeah. And that it was more like, you fast and then you get well. I just don't know where her train of thought came from in that. Like, how, okay, like fasting can be good for you, but like, can it cure your foot pain?
Yeah, but you've got a lot of people drinking like apple cider vinegar right now going, wellness!
While sunning that asshole again. I'm not letting that go. I'm not. Maybe only three people are doing it. I don't care. Those three people are idiots.
It sounds vaguely attractive.
It sounds actually like it would be kind of nice.
I think it would be good to just like expose my bottom to the morning sun and be like,
should we do that? Should we get naked and go out? Oh, wait. The sun's already set. The sun sets at 2 p.m. now. Fuck.
Guess that's not for us.
Oh, dang.
I mean, I want to say that it's difficult to credit how stupid people were. Yeah. But again, we live in 2019.
2090. The whole thing as well, like, I kept coming across the fact that she was just so charismatic and intense and forceful. So she basically had this, like, cult sort of personality that drew people in. Mm-hmm. And so she's got this idea, she's published, she's got this thing.
She's got a book.
She's got a fucking book, and she's a woman.
Doctor.
Definitely doctor actually a real woman. Doctor. During her trial as well, people kept saying Mrs. Hazard. And she was like, Mrs. Hazard is my mother. I am Dr. Hazard. And she wouldn't let it go.
Well, that's because Dr. Hazard is the best supervillain name ever. Good.
Yeah, this whole thing I came about because my friend Rosie, actually, who did one of the episodes before, she linked me to this, being like, you got to do this, Jess. You got to. And she was right. Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you for the new nightmares that I will now have. I can see her laughing maniacally in the courtroom every now and again. Dr. Hazard!
Fly, my pretties! Release the gargan! Okay, guilty? They're persecuting me because I'm a woman! Stop stabbing the judge right now! Yeah, she got fined £100 and then banished, but then she came back and everyone was like, I mean, that was like 2 years ago. Life expectancy in the frontier then was like 15, so fuck it.
Like those were grandchildren. So the moral of the story is crime does pay.
The moral of the story is let's go and eat 6 cakes now.
Because I'm down for it.
Let's do.
I'm down for it. But before we can have the cakes and the lunch and the cakes and the more wine.
Yeah.
Gotta be grateful for something this time.
Yeah.
Something's a nice sometimes.
What are you thankful for?
I'll do a something's a sometimes.
Okay, good.
I got one.
Okay,
good. I got one.
Do it. Tell me.
Which is that I've been quite stressed this week because I've had a sick bunny and sometimes my brain just gets stressed and my partner has been very supportive. So thank you, Strix. I don't know how you deal with the howling demon bitch that is me half the time, but I'm glad that you do. And we had such a nice night where we made a big pot of Glühwein, drank ourselves into oblivion while watching Gravity Falls. And I just felt like,
I want that to be my night every night.
It was a great night. I get sleepy drunk, so after a while I just fell asleep and I got head strokes.
Oh, that's so wholesome.
The hangover the next morning. We won't talk about that.
No. That's future Philippa's problem.
So thank you, Strix.
That's lovely.
Thanksgiving. So tell us what disgusting Thanksgiving foods you're eating on Twitter. Because I've been told the yam and marshmallow story.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more.
Yeah.
Educate us.
I feel like just anything fatty you can combine with something else, I feel like, is the main thing that you should do on this day.
Yeah, but marshmallows and potato-like things should never meet.
No, that does sound incredibly disgusting.
And maybe it's just not our culture.
No. Our culture is bangers and mash and fish and chips.
Mushy peas.
And mushy peas, basically.
Oh, it's not my culture.
Take a food, make it mushy, I'll eat it.
Boil it to death.
Boil it.
Take away all the flavor.
Mush it. Mush it again a third time. Gimme.
I mean, British peas aren't even green anymore. They've given up the ghost of colour.
They are just
soggy despair.
They are grey, yes. I don't want colour in my food. It needs to all be the same grey
as the sky.
Mushy, grey food, eels. That's what I want.
I'll take the starvation diet.
Okay.
Let's go eat food.
Okay, let's do it.